problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Beach, drive, drop, park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
Ron and Diane sitting in a tree. KISSISSIPPI. Do you hear that, bird?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSaintPete.com. Phone lines open, 813-693-2124 there. You'll be able to leave a voicemail or text message, SMS text message over there. This is the Homemade Broadcast. My name is Will Koontz. This is RadioSaintPete.com. Welcome back, folks. Did you have a nice week? I certainly hope you did. I'm not being sarcastic at all. Dealing with these goddamn allergies. Oh my god, are they getting anybody else? I keep thinking I have some sort of disease they can't cure. My one eye, my right eye, is just will not stop watering. It's just leaking. It's been leaking for 6 weeks now, a month. Maybe I'm exaggerating, maybe a few weeks, but at least a few weeks. That I'm not kidding about. It's amazing. It's out of control. How does one eye leak? How does that happen? What's going on with the other eye? Other eye can hold it down. The right eye just can't take the pressure. I keep thinking I have the flu or something, but the flu is pretty much done now. I think we survived the flu epidemic. I say that and I'll probably become deathly ill now, but I said that out loud. But no, it's the allergies. The pollen is just awful. My car, everybody's car is just coated with this white tree semen that's just everywhere, bukkakeing everybody. It's out of control. I read that this pollen is worse than it's been in many years because we had a cold January. I don't remember it being that cold, but I guess it was. I don't know. But yeah, I guess it's supposed to last until the end of March, and then April will start to get better. We just need a good rain, a good monsoon, like a 10-minute downpour to just clean the air and get rid of everything, but hasn't happened yet. My right eye is just leaking like I'm sitting next to my dad watching the end of Big Fish again. How embarrassing that was. Jesus. This week on the show, nobody. That's right. Just me reading out loud to you. Just stories from the week that perished here in Tampa Bay. Interesting things that happened. We talk about some gun control. We talk about weird cops doing weird stuff. Mental illness. And there's one more thing. And I can't remember what that was, but it's great. You're going to love it, for sure, 100%. The show, The Homemade Broadcast, is brought to you by Tap House 61, my buddy Joe Robertson and Tap House 61. I just saw on their Instagram, hired some new hot chicks as bartenders, so what more reason do you need to go in there? Get yourself a beer, 2061 Central Avenue. They got a great trivia night on Wednesday nights by Just John and the, I don't know what his crew's called, Trivia Nation. I don't know. I'm making that up. But Just John does the trivia down there. He does a fantastic job. It's always fun. And check them out on Facebook for more events, live music, and a bunch of stuff they got going on. Tap House, the number 6 and the number 1 on Facebook. Give that page a like. And go in for a beer. 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. Taphouse61.com. And also my friend Chrissy Parker at Truvy Salon and Spa. That's Truvy, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Truvy _ salon on Instagram. You can see some of her work that she does there. She does a fine job on hair. I can tell you that much. She's located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. B. You can make an appointment right online at Truvy, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. The Botox lady comes in once a month. You can get your head, you know, shoot poison in your head and make you beautiful. You know, some people do it and it works. You know, crazier things have happened. So, yeah, this week on the show, just me going over some stories from this past week here in Tampa Bay. Next week we'll be back with a guest. I believe Vanessa Rao is coming in from formerly of CW44 on-air personality over there. She does the Rao Report on the Johnny B Show on Thursdays now on 102.5 The Bone. Speaking of 102.5 The Bone, listen to a show I help co-host, Midnight, Monday through Friday. It's called Stay Woke. It's with Anna Hummel and myself. And if you're not in the Tampa Bay area, you can find that at theboneonline.com and 102.5 FM here locally in Tampa Bay. Like our Facebook page, if you search Anna Hummel Radio, it's just Anna, but it's Anna, A-N-N-A-H-U-M-M-E-L Radio, and then you'll find the Stay Woke page. It should probably just be Stay Woke Radio or something, but, you know, it's her page. And then, like, our Facebook page, HMB Radio, and Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm home_made_man. Happy to talk to you over there. And Radio St. Pete is just Radio STPETE. That's right. Easy as that. The week that perished here in Tampa Bay, feel free to call in, leave me a voicemail, make fun of my reading out loud or my sniffling and slurring for some reason because my nose is clogged up. I don't blame you. 813-693-2124. This is the week that perished here in Tampa Bay on the homemade broadcast right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. And everybody was, you know, up in arms earlier this week because the Florida Senate, I believe, passed a resolution to arm some school staff. And, of course, I saw a bunch of people on social media who did not read the article, of course, that they retweeted and posted about. You think that they're just going to make these teachers carry guns? No, that's not what they're saying. They're giving some people the opportunity to do so that work in the school. It wouldn't be officially a no-gun zone anymore at that point. Whether or not you think that's a good idea, that's up to you, of course. But that's what our lawmakers in Tallahassee have decided to do. And a bunch of people are, you know, upset about this, thinking that they're going to make these people carry guns. No, dummy. Come on. Read the articles that you retweet and post. I know it's tough. I'm guilty of it, too. I've done it from time to time. Read the headline and go from there. But if something sounds crazy, if it sounds a little rich, it probably is, and for good reason. So the bill passed narrowly 20-18 and will now go to the Florida House. A Republican amendment changed the so-called Marshall Program Monday. The program originally allocated $67 million to armed teachers who volunteer to go through law enforcement training. So they're not obviously just going to stick guns in Mrs. Jerome's hand and say, hey, good luck, toots. That would be irresponsible. And that's why people are upset with some of these people who are getting a hold of guns that are using them incorrectly. It's irresponsible how they are using the tool that's presented in front of them. Democrats tried to strip the proposal from the bill, but failed. The bill would also raise the minimum age to buy an assault-style weapon. That basically means a scary-looking gun, from 18 to 21, and require a 3-day waiting period for all gun purchases in Florida. I wonder if that has anything to do with concealed permits. As far as I know, if you have a concealed permit, you do not have to wait 3 days to buy a rifle, you don't have to wait 3 days. I think that's correct, too. You can just buy a rifle. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm okay with that, waiting 3 days. If you have the concealed permit, though, you go through the federal background check. And so hopefully that doesn't take away anybody's right there. And some people are saying, I think it's a window dressing. And I, for one, won't be going home trying to pretend that I did something to solve the problem, said Senator Tom Lee from Brandon. However, Democrats felt differently. I don't know how the pro-NRA legislator thinks, but I would assume that they're not going to get the credit they think that they're going to get for by voting for it, said Senator Oscar Brainon, a Democrat from Miami. Democrats also tried to push the ban on assault-style weapons used at both Pulse and the Parkland School, but those efforts failed on Saturday. The measure does boost school security and creates new mental health programs in schools. That's good, right? That's a good thing. We should have that, right? I don't know. What are you asking me for? The Florida House still has to take up the bill, but time is ticking as the legislative session is expected to end Friday. That was this past Friday, I guess, yeah. However, if they do get something passed, a special session may be called by the governor. So no. Don't worry. They're not going to make teachers carry guns. They're giving them the option to if they go through law enforcement training. Yes, I realize that many of these teachers are not going to want to do that. Okay? Nobody's got a gun to their head. Forgive the bad pun. Everything's just guns. Tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm sure most of you are, too. No matter what side you tend to stand on, you guys, it's annoying. It's super annoying. Tampa Bay Times put out an article on Monday. An editorial. I understand the purpose of editorials. I understand that they're opinion-based. But and I'm okay with them saying that they feel a certain way. However, this editorial was masked to me, it seemed like, dishonestly. They weren't quite saying their opinion, but they were subtly doing it by the things that they, the nouns that they used, the words that they used in certain aspects. This one was, of course, they talked about who voted for what in the Florida State House, who voted for guns, who was pro-gun, for guns is what they used. And, you know, people who voted against the bill and voted for more gun control, I guess. They labeled those people who did the right thing, I guess. They labeled them for kids. So you were either for guns or you were for kids. Nope. I don't think so. That doesn't sound right to me. You really think that people who voted pro-Second Amendment, I guess, don't like children? They want kids to be killed? Really? Times editorial staff? That's what you think? I don't think that you think that. I think you're presenting your bias in an editorial. Just say you feel like they did the wrong thing. Fine. Be honest about it. All right, at least you can have a conversation from there. But to just poison the well and say these people hate kids and they want them dead. That's what you're implying, I'm assuming, right? Four kids or four guns? What would be, what else, what am I missing there? I would really like to know. That's so dishonest and such a narrow-minded way of looking at things. Again, I know it's an editorial. I get it. It makes sense. Say how you feel. Say, I think that these people who voted, they would be Republicans, most of them, if not all of them. You feel like they voted the wrong way. You think they did the wrong thing. Fine. Okay. We could go from there. But to say that, to imply that they're anti-kid, you don't think they have kids? You don't think they have kids in public schools? Most of them probably in private schools, by the way. However, I'm sure some of them are in public schools. They do not want their kids to die. What is the matter with you? Just be honest, dudes. Be honest. Say how you feel. Say you did. I feel they did the wrong thing. We, the Tampa Bay Times editorial staff, feel that these people did the wrong thing. Don't say they don't. They want kids dead? Holy crap. That is, boy, you just push it to 100 real quick. Real quick. That's insane. It's so unfair. And you're tricking people. You're trying to act like, no, we're just saying, you know, we're presenting the information. We're presenting the contact information for these people who are for guns. And we're providing the contact info for people who are for kids. And you can feel free to contact your legislators. You should. I agree, you should. But why can't you just say pro-gun or anti-gun? That's what the issue is. It's not, the issue is not if you're for kids or against kids. If the question is if you're for kids, 100% of the people, that's a position that both sides can get on board. I'm sure they're for kids. What is wrong with you, you psychos? You dishonest psychopaths. Say how you feel. Be honest. It's okay. You can go forward from there. But it's not an argument to say that these people are for guns or for kids. What the hell does that mean? Goodness gracious. It's a logical fallacy. It's called poisoning the well. It's where you just attack the person's character in an argument. It's not an argument. It's just a way to win an argument easily, and it's very prevalent. A lot of people do it now. They attack the character rather than the position that these people are taking. I say shame on you, Tampa Bay Times editorial staff. Be honest next time. You can do it. You guys got Pulitzer Prizes, you guys and gals over there. You're a good outlet. You're a good paper, I think. So the editorial staff, the editors, just be honest, man. Be honest. I guarantee if you asked any of these pro-gun, in quotes, or whatever, pro, what did you say, for guns, why they voted for guns, I guarantee you, I don't like to imply what's in anybody's, you know, heart. And what's in their minds and what they're really thinking. But I guarantee you it's as easy as, well, I'm a believer in the Second Amendment. I'm a believer in the Bill of Rights. And I believe it's a cornerstone to our democracy. And according to my interpretation, the right should not be impeded by anything. Again, disagree with it. Okay, not a problem. That's good. We can have a conversation then. But to just say that these people hate kids, that's so dumb. So dumb. It sounds, again, it sounds crazy. You're being crazy, okay? Tampa Bay Times editorial staff, just say how you feel. Not condemning. They don't like kids. Could you imagine? Holy moly. But I don't know. Let me know what you think. Give me a call, 813-693-2124. That's the voice text line. What do you think about this opinion by the Tampa Bay Times? Also from the Times this past, I believe it was Tuesday, Senate Republicans received jars of tar and feathers after gun vote. And the return address was not from the Tampa Bay Times editorial section, I'm sure. Shortly after Florida senators narrowly passed a bill that raised the age to buy a gun from 18 to 21 and imposed a minimum 3-day waiting period on gun purchases, several Republican members received a gift, hand-delivered to their offices, a jar of tar and feathers. From the children of Bradford County, reads the note, written in red tape across outside one of the jelly jars, the Tar and Feather Enemy of Freedom Award, they read on the other side. On top of the jars are decorated with plastic poop emoji and a glued-on feather. Senators aren't sure who distributed the gifts to their offices, but aides say it wasn't children. They do know that the backlash has begun in the wake of the 2018 vote that moved the school safety bill through the Senate on Monday. 11 of the state Republicans who voted for the measure is either termed out or does not face voters this November. Six of them, however, are up for re-election in November and must now face the wrath of their gun lobby if they attempt to put someone up against them in the primaries. They include Senators Jeff Brandis, right here, our representative here in Pinellas County, Catherine Pasadomo, think that's right, Keith Perry, Wilton Simpson, Kelly Stargell, and Dana Young. Marion Hammer, head of the National Rifle Association Florida chapter, denied they have threatened any legislators. "We don't make threats, and we never discuss strategy," she told the Times and Herald. The NRA posted an alert to its members claiming that Senate leadership strong-armed senators to vote in favor of the bill and warned that House leaders are now trying to bully Second Amendment supporters to get them to vote for gun control packages. "You and every other law-abiding gun owner is being blamed for the atrocious act of premeditated murder," the alert says. "Neither the three-day waiting period on all rifles and shotguns, raising the age from 18 to 21 to buy any firearm, or the bump stock ban will have any effect on crime, despite the fact Senate leaders rammed through the gun control as part of the bill. The NRA has urged members to email members of the Florida House and urge them to reject the amendment." So nobody is happy on this deal. Everybody's TO'd. Everybody's mad. They're not getting what they want. They're getting stuff they don't want. And in the end, everyone will soon forget about this tragedy since we have a very short attention span. And the next tragedy is just around the corner, I'm sure, sadly. I get to thinking about this sometimes. I wonder, is it possible, maybe, that government can't legislate everything? And I think this is a dichotomy between the left, people on the left, and people on the right-hand side of the aisle. Is I think people on the right would say, well, no, you know, it's not government's job to do that. And people on the left, I've had debates with lots of my friends who say government can do anything. If we just put our minds together and our efforts, government can do it all. And I'm still kind of under that impression that the government is just the DMV, and it's slow, and it's a bureaucracy, and it does more harm than good a lot of the times. But I don't know. Tell me what you think. 813-693-2124. You can leave a voicemail. You can leave a text message. If it's presentable and doesn't curse in it, I might even read it, perhaps. So make sure you do that. 813-693-2124. All right, next we got, are you familiar with Tony Daniel? Tony Daniel is a lunatic. I first saw and heard about him last year, I guess, when, I guess just like a Facebook, everybody saw this thing on Facebook of this truck driving in Tampa, and it had a friggin' swastika and a Confederate flag taped to it with lynched black folks, a picture of that, a picture of Mayor Bob Buckhorn from Tampa. And everyone's like, can you freaking believe this? There's a goddamn racist, white racist, driving around his freaking car. Unbelievable. Racism isn't real. Are you kidding me? Look at this. There's proof. And then a quick Google search, and some lunatic black guy. it has a long history with the city council there in Tampa. And he's a crazy guy. He's just a lunatic. But people are saying he might be being targeted now. Targeting Tony Daniel, Tampa begins to tighten public comment rules. And they're saying this is against Mr. Daniel himself. The city is denying it. But Tony Daniel has a long, unhappy history at City Hall. This is from Charlie Fargo from The Times. Dating back to the mid-1990s, Daniel, 60, has regularly used his 3 minutes of public comment at council meetings to hurl profane and racially provocative invective at city council members. Learned a new word today. Look at that. Once he chained himself to his seat during a council meeting, he has been removed and arrested multiple times for his behavior during public comment. More recently, Daniel has made news for driving his pickup truck through the city with a large sign, described in a Tampa Bay Times story last year as emblazoned with a Confederate flag, a Nazi flag, a photo of a lynching, Mayor Bob Buckhorn's photo, and references to Home Depot. And I don't mean to laugh, but come on, it's kind of funny, right? You saw this just driving down the street. Shocking. And multiple uses of the N-word, which I can only assume is ninny. Last week, council members took the first step toward changing their rules so they could potentially remove Daniel and other speakers from council meetings who violate the new language guidelines. Borrowed from the Hillsborough County Commission, regulating conduct and decorum. Starting in April, speakers will be barred from, quote, launching personal attacks against any city official, city staff member, or member of the public. And from, quote, disruptive behavior, including making vulgar or threatening remarks. Council members and the city council attorney were careful to say the change isn't aimed specifically at Daniel. It's not directed at any one person, said the vice chairman, Henry Cohen, who along with Frank Riddick initiated the rule change. We want to keep it respectful and businesslike. It should be a professional environment. Respectful and businesslike hasn't always been Daniel's way. Let's just put it that way. In the 1990s, he was arrested multiple times for his conduct. In 1994, after calling then-Mayor Sandy Friedman a, quote, Jew dog, ouch, and council member Perry Harvey Jr., Negro scum. Good Lord. The board took a vote on whether to permanently ban him, and it failed. That same year, he was jailed for spray-painting graffiti, criticizing the police and the Tampa Housing Authority. Daniel, who is black, has been affiliated with the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. Those are a group of black identitarian communists who reside here in St. Pete. He was ejected from several meetings in 2003 and 2005. After those incidents, Daniel didn't come around much to the city hall until about a year ago when he began to become a regular presence and again push the boundaries of propriety. At a January meeting, Daniel used slurs to refer to Cohen and Capon. Those remarks passed without a rebuke from council members. But on February 22nd, in a meeting when Daniel suggested... I'm sorry, this guy, he is crazy, and he's a nuisance, certainly, but he's pretty funny. At a January meeting, but the February 22nd meeting when Daniel suggested that the city launch an A-hole of the Year award. Council member Mike Suarez had had enough. I don't know, City of Tampa Council there, City of Tampa Council. Why not? Sounds hilarious. Let's do it. A-hole of the Year. I would suggest that the speaker please direct comments to us without colorful language. That would be appreciated, sir, Suarez said. When Daniel asked Suarez for a list of banned words, Suarez demurred, saying the council didn't ban speech, but it did have the right to control the decorum of the chamber, he said. Suarez suggested that Daniel not use any language that he wouldn't use in front of his mother and his grandmother. I'm sure that this dude curses in front of his mother and grandmother, and I bet they have large screaming matches in the middle of the street in their neighborhood. At a March 1st meeting, Daniel, during a public comment, said Suarez's remarks were a racist attempt to control his speech. Attempts to reach Daniel for comment by phone and at the address associated with him were not successful. Later in the meeting, the council gave initial approval to its rule change. The new rules will take effect April 5th, said City Council Attorney Martin Shelby. The goal is to have a meeting that is efficient and is conducted with decorum and civility, Shelby told the Tampa Bay Times. Shelby said the courts have consistently ruled that some restrictions can be placed on public comment at government meetings. In fact, a Florida case now before the U.S. Supreme Court, which heard oral arguments last week, Lozman versus the City of Rivera Beach, Florida. Fain Lozman was arrested in 2006 for comments about public corruption, and he made during a public comment at a Rivera Beach City Council meeting. two federal courts have upheld his arrest for disruption of lawful public assembly. Cohen said that the council's actions is not about limiting First Amendment rights, but creating an atmosphere that fosters civil dialogue. We should allow this wide a latitude as possible because we want people to express themselves. We do, Cohen said, but the line is crossed when it comes to obscenity and inappropriate language for a public forum. You don't really see lunatics take an interest in local government. Usually you just see them ranting and screaming on the street, which is, you know, just that's just the attitude you come to expect. I saw yesterday, I was playing some tennis at the park, one of the parks down here in St. Petersburg. And I had my headphones in. I walked down, and my friend finally got there. We were finally ready to play tennis. And I thought I heard just screaming at the top of their lungs. But I had my headphones in. I couldn't tell. So my buddy walks in, and I'm here. I'm like, do you hear that? Is somebody just screaming? And he goes, I think it's a bird. I go, no, that's not a bird, dude. That's a person screaming, yelling. You can make out what they're saying. And he goes, oh, yeah, I guess they are screaming. And sure enough, a cop comes speeding by. And you hear the cop's door shut, and it's dark, and I can't see anything at night. I'm useless. I have night blindness. So I'm trying to make out what exactly is happening. Excuse me. Sorry, I just burped in your face. Apologies. And I'm trying to make out what the cop's saying and what exactly is happening. And all I can hear is a lunatic at the top of his lungs screaming, I am not a threat. I am not a threat. Now, granted, I know that you're not in your right mind, but if you want to presume and make sure somebody understands that you're not a threat, the best way to go about that is not scream, I am not a threat, directly in their face. So a few seconds later, you heard a taser being released, the click, 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 a scream, and that was it. Taking care of business. That was all. It was done with. And, of course, they got to have the whole cavalry come out. You got to work on the paperwork now. What a pain in the ass it must be to be a cop now. Holy moly. I'm not a big fan of police in general. I've had, you know, a few run-ins. Well, just one, really, with the St. Pete police that was bad. Aside from, like, getting tickets and stuff where they're just, like, dicks. But, all right, you know, they got to... I understand now. Living in this town for, I don't know, a decade, it's crazy down here. It's filled. It's a mid-range city. It's full of crazy people. Crazy homeless people just are all over, ravaging the streets. And it's a shame. It is. You know, most of them are mentally ill or, you know, drug addicts or drunks. But I think the majority of them are probably mentally ill and probably drunks because they have to sedate themselves for the most part. We definitely have a mental health problem, not only here, but in this whole country. But I feel bad for cops, man. Their job must be so difficult. They have to deal with this all day long when these people really should be dealt with by medical professionals, really. And these cops have to deal with this. They have to tase these people and get them under control, wrangle them up, take them to the hospital, do all the paperwork. Oh, my God, I can't imagine the paperwork that had to be done just for that 20-second incident. Pages and pages and pages to make sure everything is done by the books. Because everybody complains now. You know, a cop is rude to them, and they're going to go complain and say, try to get his badge and try to get him fired. I mean, that's with any profession, really, now. It hasn't, now it's just that sort of motif that we have as a people. We try to get everybody fired. But good Lord, man, I mean, I would never want to be a cop. That's just got to be one of the toughest jobs. And most of them are, you know, I've talked to a few and they're just, you know, normal people. You wouldn't know them. You wouldn't know they were cops if they were out of uniform. And they just have to deal with this crap constantly. And I was thinking, should we have state mental hospitals? I think back in the day, which was, I don't know, 70s or 60s, they probably stopped it. But there used to be a state-run facility. So I don't think this is... It's always been like this. There's always segments of the population that are just... They can't fit into society. Probably, what, like 2% maybe? Either because they have some sort of, you know, condition or they're just not fit. They just don't work. They're defective in some way or something. But then it kind of goes back on my, you know, these are people. You can't just throw them in a hospital. But there has to be some sort of happy medium there. We have to have some sort of accountability. I think this would cut down on the shootings and the... But so is it worth throwing potentially, you know, just a little bit crazy, but, you know, they're all right. And then you have the crazy that go on mass killings and shootings and gun innocent people down. So what are we willing to sacrifice for that? I don't know, man. I mean, that's part of the problem. We live in a country that's freer than most. So you can't just lock people. You can't, you know, take them against their will. They have rights in this country. Thank God. But also, geez, because now we got to deal with some of these people who are just loose cannons and can't conform to society. I feel like a lot of these shootings, you know, a common trait is that a lot of them are on psychiatric medication. So I don't know if the medication itself is the problem, is the issue. Because the side effects are, you know, you might kill yourself if you take this medication, if you're, you know, depressed or whatever, if you're impaired psychologically in some way. But, you're probably, you're loopy anyway. You're a nut anyways. So is it the medication or is it just because you're a creep and a loose cannon? I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you think? 813-693-2124. Should we put people away against their will? If they, if they're a little loopy with a judge's approval, should we do that? Do we want to open that can of worms? Should we just let these people go free? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. 813-693-2124. All right, and finally, before we get the heck out of here, speaking of cops, Pasco County deputy arrested and terminated after bizarre sexual encounter. Oh, boy. Land O'Lakes, Florida, Pasco County deputy has been fired after being arrested for putting, yes, prepare yourself, this is graphic, for putting semen on a woman. I'm assuming it's his. I mean, I guess that's the best you can hope for, at least if somebody's going to do that for you, that's the person that's doing it to you and not another person's. I don't know. Good Lord. A spokesman for the Pasco County Sheriff's Office confirms that 25-year-old deputy Joseph Mercado has been terminated after being arrested last month. An affidavit states that Mercado went to a woman's home in Pasco County around 3 a.m. on February 15th, saying he needed to discuss a serious incident that he had witnessed. The victim says she agreed to talk outside in the driveway. After the victim repeatedly asked Mercado to leave, arrest documents say he started masturbating and then used his finger to put semen on the woman above the neckline of her shirt. What a creep. Authorities say he also tried putting it on the victim's lips, but she pulled away. Did she just like say, don't put it on my neck? And then she's like, oh, God. And then the lips, sorry. The woman says she continued to ask Mercado to leave, and then she went into her home until he left. The sheriff's office tells News Channel 8 that Mercado was off duty at the time of the incident. The arrest report also states that Mercado and the victim were not in an ongoing dating relationship when this incident happened. Mercado was arrested on February 28th for battery. Pasco Sheriff Chris Nocco released this statement to News Channel 8. The Pasco Sheriff's Office and... Should I do it in a country accent? The Pasco Sheriff's Office ensures discipline is paramount in our organization. The allegations were investigated, and he was arrested and terminated. Before his arrest, Mercado was popular on the A&E show Live PD. Live PD, I've never seen it, but it's like Cops, but it's live. So it seems like that would be boring to me, because how often does something exciting happen? But maybe people just like the, I don't know, driving along, ride along feature. He was also featured several times in pictures and videos posted on the social media accounts for the Pasco County Sheriff's Office. So this creep's gone. Thank God. See, this person should be in a mental hospital, right? You can't just go around wiping your stuff on people. What's the matter with you? You're a deviant. You need to be locked away. I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry. It's terrible. It really is. This guy's a creep. This guy should probably be in a mental hospital, right? I mean, is it... I don't know. I feel like I would want that person to get the help they needed as opposed to being just, like, thrown in jail. You know? What do you think? 813-693-2124. That's 813-693-2124. Oh, goodness. If you don't laugh, you'll cry, folks. Am I right? Thank you very much for tuning in to the Homemade Broadcast this week. Putting up with my reading out loud. I know that can be a struggle. It makes me cringe every time I do it. But I appreciate you putting up with it. Appreciate you tuning into this show. Appreciate you tuning in to Stay Woke on Monday through Friday at midnight on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay, thebononline.com. Otherwise, it's myself and Anna Hummel. I co-host for her. And it's always a good hang. I like Anna. She's fun. So, thanks for tuning into this show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast at HMB Radio Tampa Bay. If you put that into iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, as far as I know, you can get it. Go to the website, hmbradio.com. We got blog posts over there. We got more podcasts. We got photographs. We got, if you just want to check it out, if you want to find out how to get in touch with us, anything, hmbradio.com. If you want some stickers, I'd be happy to send you some HMB Radio stickers. That's right. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast. Don't forget the D in front, at Radio St. Pete. That's Radio STPETE.com, HMBRadio.com. If you missed that, call, text 813-693-2124. Follow us on Facebook, HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Just HMB Radio. I think you got it. You do. Radio St. Pete is just Radio STPETE on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. And same thing with Instagram, @home_made_man. I think that's it. I think we're good. The week that perished here in Tampa Bay, I hope I did an okay job for you. We'll be back next week with a guest, I'm sure. Hopefully. Unless I'm totally excommunicated from this community by now. It's a possibility. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for the Indie Circuit at 10. And coming up next, we got Frank Rivera's jazz show from the Jazz Room. In Dunedin. Is it Dunedin? Yes, Dunedin. So stay tuned for that. Catch replays at 10:15 on Mondays. 4:15 a.m. on Tuesdays, Eastern Time. And just get the podcast, would you please? HMB Radio Tampa Bay, iTunes, or Stitcher. My name is Will Koontz. This is The Homemade Broadcast. It was The Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. See you next week. Take care. Goodbye.
problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.